top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q, the big station.
This is the midday news for Wednesday, January 24. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, Domlex seeks to provide answers to some of its customers' burning questions and concerns. Canada warns against Bahamas crime, and U.S.-led coalition says 150 ISIS fighters killed in airstrike. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and a Fast Cash.
Need cash? Get a loan up to $10,000 with up to 24 months to repay. Only with Courts Ready Cash. It's quick, easy, hassle-free, and no security required. All you need to walk with is one form of valid picture ID, a recent job letter and payslip, proof of address, and the names of three references. Visit your nearest Courts location for more information. Get a Ready Cash loan today.
Are you interested in traveling the world? How about doing some home renovations? Or maybe you'd like to upgrade your business for maximum profitability? Then it sounds like you need Fast Cash. Well, Dominica, we're here for you. Come into Fast Cash to apply for your loan today. Whether you need a consumer-based or business loan, we're located at 1921 King George V Street, Rosa Dominica, and on the corner of Bay Street and Hillsborough Street, Portsmouth. Telephone 488-3278. Smarter, faster, better. Fast Cash.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says following Hurricane Maria, works will soon begin on repairing the secondary roads on the island. Last year, during the government's series of town hall meetings, Prime Minister Skerritt revealed that his government had approved EC $11 million for improving roads across the island. The funding was part of a project secured from the Citizenship by Investment Program. Mr. Skerritt says following an assessment by the Ministry of Public Works, the project should begin next month.
It's going to continue. For example, as we speak, the town council Portsmouth has over $1 million for the road from Rose's home all the way to the Dr. Armour Hospital. They will start this road hopefully by next week. We commence. They have done the drainage and the sidewalks. We were about to sign contracts for the roads in Eggleston. As a matter of fact, they were captured in the budget. So Eggleston to Girardelle. And also the Castle Comfort leg. But the Hurricane Maria disrupted the process. We had identified the contractors, we had contacted them, and we would have signed the contract, I believe, the very same week of Maria. But those of us who have traversed on these roads recognize that the hurricane has caused even more damage to these roads. And therefore, we have sent the CTO and his team to assess that with a view to reviewing the scope. I'm hoping that they can get back to me quickly so we can start work. I mandated that we should start work by the middle of February because, I mean, there are huge craters on these roads, huge holes. And it makes no sense patching these roads. You have to reconstruct those roads. So there are a number of roads in the community that will continue. So the program which we embarked and you realize that the concrete roads survived, yeah? And this is why we've been pushing concrete roads. But there's some people in America, for some reason, they think that concrete roads is an inferior.
Meantime, the Prime Minister has defended government's decision in utilizing concrete to repair the secondary roads here.
That's why some roads are delayed, because I don't want no concrete, asphalt I want. But I said, what's the difference? That you want a good road? You understand? This is why in my constituency, you'll recognize that all of the roads in my constituency are concreted. Because I said to my constituents, look, if you have an asphalt road in Penville and there are potholes, how soon do you believe the Ministry of Public Works is going to mobilize to come and block two holes for you? But if you have concrete and some holes develop, we can fix it by ourselves. Because all we need is cement and tarish. You understand? And the roads have worked well for us. You know, and even sections that are in asphalt will be, in public, the main road will be replacing those with concrete. And we have some roads we have built in since 2001, and we have done no maintenance on them. We're saving the treasury money. So we need to move to that. So in Horton Waven, where we started, we'll continue that. We'll be doing the Trafalgar Road there from the junction going to Horton Waven, all the way up to Papua. They will be redoing that and in concrete and 6-inch concrete. So the road program will continue, because people still need access to their homes. The Parapo Mao took me to Upper Belfast area there, a terrible condition. So we'll continue those roads for the people, because it is said by some, the road to development are roads.
Architect and president of the Dominica Business Forum, Severn McKenzie, believes that the shortage of building supplies and skilled labor will have a negative effect on building back with greater resiliency. McKenzie says that a lot of homeowners are not heeding the warnings and are not using the proper practices to build back. He says this could spell disaster when another hurricane comes around.
My own experience on the ground is that because there is a shortage of material, and there is a shortage of skilled labor on the ground and a shortage of construction workers on the ground, and so many things happening, and there is so much demand right now that people are doing things, unfortunately, worse than some of the buildings were. So, for example, there is a shortage of hurricane straps on the island, which is critical to the reconstruction process and making buildings safe. And because there is a shortage of this important component of the building supply, you find that persons are more interested in getting their roof back up. So the roofs are going back up, and so many of them are not even going. Many of them are not. You find that the hurricane straps that are essential to the safety of the buildings for the next storm. So you find that a lot of work is going on. Some people are doing quite a number of things, but I am a bit concerned that the Build Back Better concept that we are supposed to be developing is not gaining root with what is actually being practiced on the ground.
The Dominica Business Forum is hosting a forum on building at the Windsor Park Stadium. Dominican economist Dr. Maureen Paul is urging governments to significantly invest in establishing renewable energy services for export purposes throughout the region. According to Dr. Paul, Dominica has the capability to lead the way in innovation in the Caribbean energy sector.
Here is where I think we need to start thinking big. I think with our natural resources, hydropower, even our potential for geothermal generation, that we should start thinking about exporting electricity and working with the rest of CARICOM for us to have interconnectors. And, I don't think it is beyond us to think that big and be able to do it. I think we should be able to be the home of the interconnectors and selling electricity, renewable generated electricity, to the rest of the Caribbean, because we have that advantage and we should be able to use it. And of course, with the development of storage, battery storage for energy, there's a lot that we can do. So on a practical basis, we can do it. We need to think big, and we need to work with our neighbors for us to use the thing that we are better than them at doing.
UWP leader Lennox Linton wants Dominica's government to give a full account of the state funds used post Hurricane Maria to assist in the country's relief efforts.
Which is why I am also saying the people of Dominica need an accounting for the CBI monies that the government is operating with. My estimation is that when the storm hit us in September of last year, the government was sitting on $450 million of CBI money that was in the bank unused. We need to know what the government has done with that money. How much of it did you spend on buying relief food supplies? How much of it did you spend on paying heavy equipment to clean up the roads and so on in the city? How much of it did you spend on paying salaries, public service, et cetera, et cetera? And how much has come in since the storm? We need those numbers.
He says there are areas which the government has not attended to.
because there are some areas that have remained unattended to. For example, the private sector companies who lost their inventory through looting have been ignored by this government, even though it is widely accepted that this was the result of a breakdown in law and order for which the law enforcement agencies in Dominica are responsible. So you have members of the community providing a vital service in terms of the food supply chain, in terms of the material, the building material supply chain and so on, that suffered heavily from a breakdown of law and order. And to this day, more than 4 months after the storm, the government has announced absolutely no plan to help these private sector companies affected from the proceeds of the Citizenship by Investment program.
The UWP leader went on to list some of the things taken up by the government in recent years, which he finds questionable in most cases.
Remember, this is a program that the government is using to facilitate interest from overseas coming in to build hotels in Dominica. That's fine. This is a pool of money that the government has used to give to people to start businesses that have not yet seen the light of day, may never see the light of day. This is a source of money that the government has used for certain kinds of things that have not delivered any benefits close to what the distributive trades have delivered to the government coffers in taxes over the years. The distributive trades have been the most dependable source of tax revenue into the government coffers for a number of years. That's how we know it. And now that that particular segment of the community, that particular segment of business has been impacted, the government is refusing to raise a finger to help when it continues to use our passport money to facilitate hotel development interests from the outside, almost exclusively. This cannot be right.
Still on the local scene, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Education, Chandler Hyacinth, says the format of the Grade 6 National Assessment will be structured to cater to the students. Following Hurricane Maria, many primary schools across the island remained closed for an extensive period. Hyacinth says that the Ministry of Education is aware that some primary schools opened earlier than others.
This is a local exam, but it is controlled by Dominica. So certainly in terms of the setting of the exams, the content of the exams, that can be controlled by us within the Ministry of Education. So that will be the whole fact that some schools started later than others will be taken into consideration in the preparation and the setting of the exam papers. We will try to assist where it's possible.
The Forestry Division will embark on a study to determine the impact of Hurricane Maria on the national bird of Dominica, the imperial or the Cicero parrot. Acting Research, Monitoring and Environmental Education Officer in the Forestry Division, Stephen Durand, says less than 500 imperial parrots existed in the wild before Hurricane Maria, and the division is concerned that the numbers could be less and that the existence of the national bird could be under threat. Durand also says that the study will determine the impact of the storm, what it had on the redneck and the jackal parrot.
I really don't want to be negative before being positive. I would want to pray that we do not reach this point. After Hurricane David, the population of both species were less than 100, that is the imperial, and a little more than 100. And the Hurricane David was a less intense storm. So this storm, I'm not sure what category beyond five it really was, but we know that the imperial, as I said earlier, suffered a heavy blow, and so the population I think has reduced, because the population was just about 500 birds in the wild. The rednecks were just about 3,000, nearly 3,000 birds, and you can see lots of, you know, rednecks. So I think the imperial's probably gone back to an endangered species. Rednecks probably still threatened. I think we need to do assessments first, and this is something that we're going to begin to do. And so that would probably give us a better idea as to how to categorize both species. It is sad now, you know, it is really sad, but we don't want to believe that it's so sad.
He says the Forestry Division has noticed an increase in the sighting of parrots along the coastlines due to the devastation caused to the forest by the hurricane.
We are now currently seeing redneck parrots, you know, in areas where you normally would not have seen parrots, you know, before Maria. And so we're realizing that, you know, the birds have lost most of their food source and the forest cover in the interior. And so they're moving to coastal areas where they can find food and shelter. And that is very good, you know, that the animals are finding some things. They are feeding on what we call zeng zeng or wild tamarind. And that is a plant you'll find in the forest, dry forest zone, and especially around littoral woodlands, you know, beyond littoral woodlands. So they are foraging on that, and there are other things that they're foraging as well, like the white cedar, powye. And in the forest, they're getting things like the bois vivier. They're feeding on the shoots, young shoots, and there's also cocoa pool, and a number of other things that glory cedar, for example, that the birds are feeding on. And so I think the parrots, in terms of the parrots, the imperial is what we should be worried more about.
And while many persons continue to express concern over the pace at which electricity is being restored, there are customers who need to know the proper procedure that needs to be followed in order to be connected to the Domlec grid. Senior Customer Service Representative at Domlec Edison Seja says the first step is to do a preliminary exercise by a private technician who will then ensure that all appliances and wiring in the home have met the requirements for recertification. He says following the pretest, the electrical division will then provide an electrical fitness certificate so that the customer can be reconnected.
And it is very important to ensure that your house is in order. Why? Because you do not want the electrical division to come to the house and you have failed or the house has failed. So, what do you do? After the house has been examined by a private electrician, electrical division comes in. And we are saying they come in, sometimes what they do a clean sweep. So they come to a village and they'll just do a thorough exercise throughout the village to ensure that everybody is certified. Those houses which are failed, they will return. But then you now need to go back to them to inform them that you have repaired the weak areas or the poor electrical boxes or circuits. And then they can now come in to perform the exercise and give you a electrical fitness certificate. That electrical fitness certificate must be taken to Domlec. Do not keep the electrical fitness certificate. In the early stage of our restoration process, we were accepting the electrical fitness certificate on the ground to expedite the process. And that was very convenient because we need people are still desperate. People want to get their supply restored, and therefore it is important to actually request the electrical fitness certificate. There have been cases where people hold the electrical fitness certificate waiting for when we come to the area. We would not like to encourage this, because what happened is that the electrical fitness certificate is taken to Domlec. Every customer is given a case number. A case is prepared for you. You are given a case number. That case number, you can hold it for tracking purposes. What you do is that you can use the number. So if you're talking to anybody, a manager, a supervisor, any staff, you give them the case number and they'll be able to track your case to tell you what is the reason or reasons why we have not been able to restore your power. So that is very, very, very important.
Seja says one of the challenges facing the company at this time is the number of customers who are in line for reconnection and appear frustrated that their houses have not been powered up, while in some cases their neighbors have electricity. He explains the reasons for this.
Sometimes there's a little time lag in the sense of when the staff actually visited your property, mm-hmm. in comparison to taking the information to us and to update that data. As we progress with our software, our guys will have access to tablets and so forth. So that type of technology will be accessible in the future. And then the account can be easily updated for future references. People are fed up of the darkness. And some people may not fully understand the reason or reasons why they have not gotten. The most important thing is all my neighbors around me have electricity and I do not have. Now, I want to break this down a little, because what that does is that it tells me that it's not because my neighbors have electricity that I should have electricity at that time. There are various sections in which a line is, a village is energized. So the upper street may be energized and the lower one is not. Or the same street is, but not up to the cul-de-sac or the end of the street. And therefore, we are not able to connect all the customers on that street. So what that has resulted in is a number of customers returning to the office to find out about the progress of their case. We also have a long line every day. In the Portsmouth area, it goes up to an average 102. In Roseville, 102. Mm-hmm. And Portsmouth, it can range between 40 and 50 customers at regular intervals. There are busy days. There are days you get five and there are days you get six. But this week, I spoke to the senior staff over the weekend. It was low because electrical division had not been into the Portsmouth area. But whenever they revisit that area, you're going to have much more customers coming on. And then the rate of the query will be high.
In other news this afternoon, the Canadian government has warned its citizens to exercise a high degree of caution when traveling to the Bahamas due to high rates of crime, including a reported increase of sexual assaults against tourists. The warning on the Canadian government's website was updated on Friday and said that violent crime mainly occurs on New Providence and Grand Bahama. The Canadian said sexual assault occurs frequently, particularly near hotels, in hotel rooms, in casinos, on cruise ships, and on the beach. And the U.S.-led coalition fighting ISIS killed approximately 150 ISIS fighters in a Saturday airstrike. Colonel Ryan Dillon, a spokesman for the coalition, told CNN on Tuesday. The target of the strike was an ISIS headquarters and command and control center, Dillon said, adding that the strike involved over a week's worth of intelligence work involving multiple kinds of coalition intelligence, as well as information from U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces fighting ISIS on the ground. A statement from the coalition said that the location was exclusively occupied by ISIS fighters and was under constant surveillance, ruling out the possibility of civilian casualties. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Domlec seeks to provide answers to some of its customers' burning questions and concerns. Canada warns against Bahamas crime, and U.S.-led coalition says 150 ISIS fighters killed in airstrike. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and